could make a show for the community or this opportunity to get what you want to say about the book that you guys are reading.
And also have your Bibles ready. I'm not going to share actually too much on the outline. We're just going to maybe read the bullet points, and then maybe we're going to read 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, and then we're going to read some verses in Acts, and then 2 Corinthians. Amen. Everyone have it? So let's read the title together, and then we'll read the Roman numerals together, and then I'll share a little bit of something, and then let's read the verses in the Bible. Amen. The pattern of the Apostle Paul in the cooperating with Christ's heavenly ministry to shepherd people for the building up of the body of Christ. Amen. Roman numeral 1.
Paul was a pattern of cooperating with Christ's heavenly ministry.
Amen.
Amen.
Roman number 2. Amen. Amen. And 3?
All of us as adding to the believers of living in his Christ as the Spirit in his Spirit for the building up of the body of Christ.
Amen. Amen. And then 4.
The best way to shepherd people, to cherish and nourish them, is to give them a proper pattern. All of that is spiritual children with his own living of Christ.
Amen. Amen. So this week's portion, it touched me a lot. I don't know, maybe there's something in me, or I don't know, maybe this is just the Holy Spirit coming upon, but I felt like this week was very, I felt like it was where the rubber meets the road type of fellowship. You know, in the church life we hear a lot of teachings, we get a lot of proper teachings and doctrines and things like that, and they help us, and they help us experience the Word, they help us open up the Bible. In many different ways, it's very helpful. But a lot of times we just get caught up in maybe just reading these books, knowing the knowledge, you know, maybe like right, we're reading about the meal offering, knowing all these different aspects. But how do you apply that? I felt like this week was really, it really taught us or showed us that how to apply this. And that is really to be a pattern. And a pattern, one way is to get into the ministry. That's a good pattern, right? But another way, at the end, the last Roman numeral is how to shepherd ones. And to shepherd is to cherish and nourish. So there's really a balancing word there, right? You can't just feed people a bunch of, oh, you need to read this ministry book, this. If you did that to me when I was a young person, and which sermon ones did, I said, adios, see you later. I'm not going to do that. I don't want to do that. I'm a normal human being young person that wanted a skateboard and go surfing and do these type of things. So if you wanted to cherish me, it wasn't by giving me a ministry book. That wasn't very cherishing to me at that stage in my life. But the servant ones that did a good job, they knew how to meet my particular need, and they would hang out with me, but also they would be able to share a little Christ with me. And so I really appreciated that Brother Monaro shared in this message that to really be an effective shepherd, you need to know, you need to have had the experience of that other person. So let's say if someone's going through maybe their mother died, I probably wouldn't be the best person because my mother is still here, and I wouldn't be the most effective person to shepherd that person because I haven't gone through that experience. So we all have gone through our different experiences, and God has given us these experiences so we could shepherd others that have gone through an experience. You know, there's certain experiences that I know a lot of you have not gone through, but I have. So I am the effective shepherd for that particular other person that had gone through that experience that I went through. So I was just really touched this week that, you know, to carry out this heavenly ministry or to see what Paul was doing, was just a pattern to us. And he was such a good pattern. And actually, could we read hymn 82? We sang that earlier this morning. I felt this was actually a really good example of a pattern. So Paul's pattern was Christ himself. So really, all what Paul did was just imitate Christ, right? And if we read hymn 82, we'll see really what was the pattern that Paul was following. The pattern he followed was, let's read from verse 1, hymn 82. Down from his glory, ever living story, my God and Savior came, and Jesus was his name. Born in a manger, to his own a stranger, a man of sorrows, tears, and agony. Amen. Let's just stop there real quick. So here we see the pattern that Paul followed was God himself became a man, right? And he stepped out of his glory. I mean, this is God. But God didn't say, hey, I'm on earth, come and worship me, I'm a mighty king, you know. But no, he came as a lowly man. And that's how Paul came. Paul came to the churches and to the believers as just another brother. He didn't come with his, you know, born, what does it say in Philippians? Yet YP? Well, what's his resume in Philippians? Born on what day? No? No one told me. Pharisee of Pharisees, born on the eighth day.
Tribe of Benjamin.
Tribe of Benjamin, right? So he had a, what? Sorry?
Circumcised.
There we go. That's what I was looking for. Right? So he had a good resume. He was like Harvard graduated, right? But he didn't go to the saints and go to the churches. Listen to me. Listen to my speaking. No. He came as a serving one. Amen. And he came just to, he really just spent his life on these ones when he went there. Right? In the verses we'll read, he even so he wouldn't burn the saints. He was a tent maker. So he wouldn't have to burn the saints, so the saints wouldn't have to care for him. Amen. He took care of his own living because that was what he felt he needed to do in this certain situation. So Paul was such a pattern. And I was just so impressed to see that such a pattern was actually Christ himself. Christ was this person. Christ became a lowly man for us. Let's read verse 2 on the hymn. What condescension, bringing us redemption, that in the dead of night, not one faint open sight, God gracious tender, laid aside his splendor, stooping to woo, to win, to save my soul. And 3. Without reluctance, flesh and blood, his substance, he took the form of man, revealed his hidden plan. O glorious mystery, sacrifice of Calvary, and I know that art the great I am. Amen. Amen. So really, I just felt like this when we were singing this hymn this morning, I was like, wow, that's really what Paul was doing. I mean, obviously, he didn't come out of the heavens. That's God, right? But he really just set aside himself and everything of his culture and background and everything just so he could shepherd the saints. Amen. So let's get into the verses. First lesson is chapter 2. We're going to read the whole chapter. 1 Thessalonians chapter 2. Still hear some flipping. We'll wait a little longer. All right, awesome. Let's read. Maybe brothers on one, sisters too. Amen.
For you yourselves know, brothers, our entrance toward you.
Amen.
That it has not been in vain.
Amen.
But having suffered previously and having been outrageously treated, even as you know in Philippi, we were bold in our lives to speak to you the gospel of God in much trouble.
Amen.
For our exhortation is not out of deception, nor out of uncleanness, nor in God.
Amen. But even as we have been approved by God to be entrusted with the gospel,
amen,
so we speak, not as pleasing men, but God, who proves our hearts.
Amen.
For neither were we found at any time with flattering speech, even as you know, nor with a pretext for covetousness. God is witness.
Nor did we see glory from him,
amen,
neither from you, nor from others, though we could have stood on our
nursing mother to cherish her own children.
Hearing is this way over you. We were well pleased to impart to you not only the gospel of God,
right,
but also our own souls.
Wow.
Because you became beloved to us.
Amen.
For you remember, brothers, our labor and travail, while working night and day, so as not to be burdensome to any of you, we proclaim to you the gospel of God.
Amen.
You are witnesses as well as God, how in a holy and righteous and blameless manner we conducted ourselves for you who believe.
Just as you know how we were to each one of you, as a father to his own children, exhorting you and consoling you and testifying.
Amen.
So that you might walk in a manner worthy of God,
amen,
who calls you into his own kingdom and glory.
And because of this, we also thank God unceasingly that when you received the word of God, which you heard from us, you accepted it not as the word of men, but even as it truly is, the word of God,
amen,
who also operates in you who believe.
Amen.
For you, brothers, became imitators of the churches of God, which are in Judea in Christ Jesus.
Amen.
For you also suffered the same things from your own countrymen, even as they also from the Jews.
Amen.
Who both killed the Lord Jesus and the prophets and those of God, and they are not pleasing to God,
right,
and not your fellow men.
Right.
That they refuse to speak to the Gentiles, that they may be saved, so that they fill up their sins always.
Right.
But wrath has come upon them to the utmost.
But we, brothers, having been bereaved of you for a little while, in presence, not in heart, were not abundantly eager with great desire to see your face.
Amen. Wow.
Therefore, we wanted to come to you. Indeed, I, Paul, both once and again, yes, Satan has hindered us.
For what is our hope or joy or crown of boasting before our Lord Jesus at his coming? Are not even you?
All together.
For you are our glory and joy.
Amen. Yeah, that when I read this again, and even right now, it's just so fresh. I've read this many times in my Bible reading in my lifetime. But when just coupling that with the sharing, this passage was very dear. It might be my favorite passage, you know. It was just so much light was shone on me during this particular time this week. Let's go into Acts 20, 17 through 24. Acts chapter 20, verses 17 through 24. Acts 20, 17 through 24. Acts 20, 17 through 24. All right, I think the rustling of pages has stopped. Let's start. Amen. He sent word to Ephesus and called the elders of the church. And when they came to him, he said to them, "You yourselves know, from the first day I set foot in Asia, I was with you all the time, serving the Lord as a slave, with all humility and tears and trials which came upon me by the plots of the Jews. How I did not withhold any of those things that are profitable by not declaring them to you, and by not teaching you publicly from house to house, solemnly testifying both to the Jews and to the Greeks, repentance unto God, and faith in our Lord Jesus. And now, behold, I am going down in the Spirit to Jerusalem, not knowing what will meet me there, except that the Holy Spirit solemnly testifies to me in city after city, saying that bonds and afflictions wait me. Wow. I consider my life of no account as if precious to myself, in order that I may finish my course and the ministry which I have received from the Lord Jesus to solemnly testify of the gospel of the grace of God. Amen. Amen. And let's go to one more verse. 2 Corinthians 12:15. 2 Corinthians 12:15. 2 Corinthians 12:15. Amen. But I utterly spent on behalf of our soul. If I love you more abundantly, I love less. Amen. How about we read that one more time all together? But I will most gladly spend and be utterly spent on behalf of your souls. If I love you more abundantly, am I loved less? Amen. Amen. So I feel those three passages really encapsulate the whole message. That's why I don't think I need to say much more. But I would like to, one last thing, I think the YP, why I say what you've been doing for the last few weeks really fits in, because the message, Brother Minoru actually says, the best way to have patterns is to read about patterns, is to read biographies or autobiographies of ones that have kind of set, were before us. They really inspire us to love the Lord. I know that's for me. I didn't read too many when I was maybe your age. My locality didn't do that practice, which, sadly, because I really like this practice. But when I was a little older, I started reading these biographies when I was in college, and it really inspired me to really see ones that were just like Paul, you know, like Hudson Taylor, and just really gave up their life, and they gave up a lot of things. Mm-hmm. Also, now I'm forgetting the name. The seven, someone know the seven, anyways, there's a bunch of gentlemen from England, and they were very wealthy, and they were a part of a cricket team or something like that, but they all gave up everything they had and all their worth, and they went and they went.
Cambridge 7.
There we go, Cambridge 7, thank you. The Cambridge 7, right? I remember reading that really inspired me to see such young men with so much opportunity before them, and they gave it all up because they really saw a vision. And Watchman Nee was such a person, right? He's a brilliant man, and he had a lot of opportunity. Even his professor or whatever cried because he's like, oh, why do you waste your life? Why are you wasting your life to be ministering as Christ? So I encourage you, YP, to share what you've been reading. Amen. Don't wait too long, we've got about 30 minutes.
The first verse says, be imitators. Philippians 3:17 says, be imitators together of me.
Amen.
So I was touched this week that the Christ, our head, has given us patterns.
Amen.
Yeah, that was very touching. You know, we know from Ephesians, he says he's given us gifts.
Right.
But this week I was touched. He's given us patterns.
Amen.
He's given us patterns.
That's right.
And these patterns shepherd us. They come to us, they visit us, and they take care of us, and they shepherd us. So Paul said, be imitators together. Because of the patterns that our head, Christ, has given us, we can be imitators of Christ. We can be imitators of our patterns. And we can be imitators together. So then it says, be imitators together of me, brothers. Observe those who thus walk. Observe. So the pattern, there are patterns among us. Praise the Lord. In the church life, the Lord has given us patterns. And we can observe the patterns. And we can be imitators of the patterns. So just 3 points. The first three Roman numerals. What is the... We read the verses. What are the most... What's the striking features of the patterns? Well, first, Roman numeral 1 says that they cooperate with Christ.
Yeah.
They cooperate with Christ.
Amen.
So that means they know Christ.
Mm.
They know the Lord.
Amen.
They know the Lord. They live Christ. And then they can respond to Christ. So they observe Christ. They are one with Christ. They cooperate with Christ. This is the kind of patterns we have. There are patterns that cooperate with the Christ in His heavenly ministry. So, and then second, Roman numeral 2, it says, the apostles were a pattern of the glad tidings that they spread. So this point, in that they're patterns of life. They know life. The patterns among us are ones who know life. They care for life, and they're restricted to life. So that touched me very much. We have patterns who know Christ, they live Christ, they can cooperate with Christ. And they know life. They cooperate with life. They respond to life. They're restricted to life. And when they come, they give us life.
Amen.
And they bring us into life.
Yes.
How wonderful.
Amen.
And then Roman numeral 3 was also very touching. It's Roman numeral 3, it says, they're patterns of living and ministering Christ as the Spirit in His Spirit.
Mm.
So they're patterns of their spirit. Mm. The Spirit in their spirit.
Right.
They're full of the Spirit. They come, they bring the Spirit. How marvelous we have such patterns.
Amen.
And then there's the expression, and then Roman numeral 4, I won't go into that one, but Roman numeral 4 is just the expression of such,
yes.
And very much, I was overwhelmed with all the detail, the detail of the expression of these patterns.
Amen.
Amen.
Amen. YP want to share? Because the adults don't seem to.
How about after I share some YP?
Amen.
Amen. I think these are very sober words. I remember that in one of the online saying, the person is the way, right? This is the general topic of this message is regarding the shepherding.
Yeah.
But how we shepherd people is not our method.
Yeah, right.
You try this way, that way. But the way is the person. Amen. What kind of person you are, then you can shepherd. And I just testify, in my early Christian life, what really impacted me a lot is the living, the person of saints. What kind of a person? Some people can be very eloquent. They can speak very well. But if you haven't, as a young believer, you never seen their life, that kind of speaking, the impact of their speaking is not great. But if you have a chance, also live together with them, maybe just one day or 2 days, you will know, wow, what they're speaking is not just the eloquence. Their speaking is coming from their living before the Lord. And I think that influence is tremendous to a young believer. So I will testify, this all sharing in this message is real. What kind of person we are determine what kind of shepherd we can be. Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord.
Amen.
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 So Alex, we're reading a biography of Bhashmi Nee, and this past week covered a point on him trying to give his whole being to the Lord, but there was just something that was stopping him. And then he talked to Sister Margaret Barber, and she shared with him about Brother Prigan. He was trying to get his PhD in something, but it was something he'd wanted his entire life, and he was always striving for this. And then a few months before he was going to take the exam, the Lord told him, or he was like, Lord, like he wanted to go for the Lord, but the Lord didn't want him to take this. And then he was just struggling so much. He was like, Lord, but like I wanted this, so I've worked so hard for this, like go to college for an extra 2 years for this, but the Lord just would not, the Lord was just super, so firm with him. He'd just say, like, no, like, if you want to live your life for me, then you can't do this. And I was just so struck by this, because something you wanted your whole life, and then being able to willingly give that up for the Lord, this is something that I hope I could have the experience of getting. But and in the end, Brother Prigan did end up abandoning this PhD, and he was actually speaking at a meeting, and he didn't know what to say, so he just shared that testimony that very day, and a lot of people got saved.
Wow.
And that was just very encouraging to me.
Amen.
Chapter 8 this week on living in the presence of God. Mm-hmm. And basically Bhashmi Nee had to deal with a lot of things in order to live in the presence of God every day. And these things were dealing with sin, worldliness, the flesh, self-preference, and disobedience. And I just enjoyed that there's actually many things we have to deal with if we want to live in the presence of God. And sometimes it seems like it's so much that we have to deal with, and then, like, after a while we would just give up. But actually, if we came to the Lord every day then and dealt with these things, then slowly we'll be able to live in the presence of God constantly.
Amen.
This flow of life needs to deepen, right? And that flow of life is for the house, is for the building. And there are all these different characteristics. And what I appreciated was first that our God is, he's depicted not as a body of water, but he's depicted as a flowing river. And we read this footnote, and this footnote just tells us, you know, whenever we call on the Lord, what we get is the process and consummated triune God, everything that he is, as soon as we call, it's ours, right? Mm-hmm. And so that's the flow of life. But what really convicted me was that flow of life needs to deepen within us. We need to learn to pay attention to that flow of life. Mm-hmm. And there was one that's talking about how the flow of life comes out from the altar. And that means consecration. And so, that means we need to be consecrated people. And just like Megan was saying, that means we need to learn how to deal with the Lord. And so if we don't learn how to deal with the Lord, if the cross doesn't operate in us, that flow of life can never deepen within us, right? And then the whole second part of the outline was talking about how this flow of life is so that we would become ministers of the new covenant. And it's talking about being planters, begetters, sowers, everything, you know, like from this past week about the Apostle Paul being a pattern for shepherding the believers. If we don't have this flow of life, there's no way for us to shepherd anyone. We're just dead, you know? But I just appreciate it. We need to, when we take care of this flow of life, then we're supplied, but that the supply is not just for us, it's actually for the members of the body, it's for the building of this house. And I guess that's something.
Amen.
One of the points I just really, really much appreciated is this word. I think Brother Minura also pointed out the word pattern. And then, of course, we have a picture of Paul. We have a picture of someone who was such a pattern. And I don't know, as I was considering it this week, and you just consider, like, yeah, even in the worldly sense, we have role models, and we have mentors.
Right.
And we can, you know, we wouldn't use the word patterns, and I think patterns has an elevated and uplifted way here in this message, which is even goes beyond, like, it goes beyond our mentors and our role models. Because I think when we're talking about a pattern of someone, because the title is a pattern of the Apostle Paul in cooperating with Christ's heavenly ministry to shepherd people for the building up of the body of Christ. Okay, this is pretty lofty. It's like kind of like big words jumping out. And, you know, something like really big, something beyond us, beyond our personal universe has happened. But yet there could be such a pattern who would cooperate with this kind of heaven, with Christ's heavenly ministry. And, you know, as I look around, I look at my peers, you know, my medical school, like, anyway, these students, and they're really upstanding, you know, they're very friendly, they're very respectable, and you can't deny, many of them, they're just very compassionate, and they're just very giving, they're very gracious, and they're very generous. But here, in talking about pattern, this is someone who, I appreciate this, was brought out in the message, where Paul was someone who didn't just live by his humanity.
Yeah.
He had the highest. He was the strictest. He was circumcised on the eighth day.
Amen.
He was a Hebrew of Hebrews. He was very religious, and in his humanity, he was very upright. He was very correct. But yet, he had something else was operating with him.
Yeah.
And he was a murderer. But then he became someone who was so humble, and someone so he would say he's less than the least of all saints.
Right, right.
When he is ministering the unsearchable riches of Christ to us, his perspective of himself is I'm less than even the least of all saints. This doesn't just happen. People don't just do this. But so this is something way beyond the sphere of the secular and worldly sense of role models and mentors and good people and up, you know, these kind of great citizens of, you know, the U.S. But this is a God man. This is, Paul was a real, Christ was the prototype. But Paul was a reproduction. Paul was a reproduction of the prototype, which was Christ. And Paul allowed the Lord to shepherd him. He opened his being to the Lord to touch him, to really gain and possess his being. That's how he could be such a pattern. And I was very much appreciating, and in the verses that we read, in 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, he spoke on, just like, he was talking very genuinely to the believers in Thessalonica, just saying, just as you know, in verse 11, how we were to each one of you, as a father to his own children. You know, to Paul, he wasn't like this big, like, macho guy, like, oh yeah, I revealed the divine revelation in, like, all these epistles, and, like, I wrote to so many churches, you have no idea. No, like, his mentality, I mean, we read this, we just read this chapter, and we read Acts. You don't sense this at all in his spirit. You don't sense it at all in his tone. It's like, he's just here to serve us. He's here to serve one another.
Slave.
He's a slave.
Yeah.
Slave has no dignity. You know, slave has nothing, no rights. Just serve. Just serve the master. Serve the saints. Serve the people. Anyway, this is a pattern. And I'm so happy, actually, even among us, even here in Piscataway, there are patterns. I mean, I can't name them because that would just be, that would be too much. But there are patterns here in Piscataway.
Yes.
And so appreciative. And we can read biography. And anyway, and I'll read a short biography. Okay, so this is some speakings from, so you guys are reading Brother Nee. I'm going to speak a little from Brother Lee. And in his ministry, in his memorial, and some were testifying regarding his living, and this is quite touching. And so, very briefly, Brother Andrew Yu, when he was testifying, he says this, human words cannot... So, Brother Andrew was very close with Brother Lee. He was like kind of his like secretary, Brother Andrew. So he traveled with Brother Lee wherever he went. So he saw a lot of things that maybe many of the co-workers have not seen. So he really knew Brother Lee's living. He says, human words cannot describe a relationship which is more than human. A mortal tongue cannot tell of a blessing that is immortal. From the day I got to know Brother Lee, he has been known to me simply as Brother Lee, and he never allowed me to address him any differently. Yet he is much more than my brother. He is much dearer to me than my father, and much more precious to me than my friend, more close to me than anyone I hold dear on this earth. He showed me the way to love the Lord. He showed me the way to serve Him and to live Him. He became a pattern to me of all the things that I heard from His messages. He is the living example of a God-man living. And he says this, Brother Lee, you have been all the time loving us, caring for us, and shepherding us. I think Brother Lee himself, he treasured this, even beyond his accomplishment of the life studies. He says, actually, his one-to-one shepherding was what he believe was his greatest kind of contribution, his one-on-one shepherding, not the life studies, not the footnotes, not all these things, but his one-on-one shepherding. And anyway, Brother Andrew says, Brother Lee, you have been all the time loving us, caring for us, and shepherding us, yet you have never allowed us during your lifetime to thank you for all the things you've done for us. You have never allowed us to speak that much about you when you were with us, because you wanted to lead us to the Lord you love. You always turned us to Christ, to life, and to God's eternal purpose.
Amen.
But in these final hours, we want to say to you, Brother Lee, we owe you everything. And he continues to thank Brother Lee, of course, posthumously. Thank you for all his labor and the love you poured on us. You asked us to promise that we would be faithful to the Lord and to his recovery. And we're here to tell you that by God's mercy, we will not fail him and we will not fail you. We will speak what you spoke, we will live what you live, and we will go where you would go. And then he said, goodbye, Brother Lee, we love you very, very much. And so, sorry, this is a pattern, this is very touching. Anyways, it's touching me now as I'm reading this.
I can tell.
For like a million times. I mean, I read this a few times already, but... and Brother Lee, in other accounts in this book, anyway, nurses have testified, even his living, he never, even in his sickness and his health, in his last few, in many kind of sicknesses, he never criticized. He never grumbled. He never mumbled. And he never murmured. And he was always so thankful to everyone, the nurses, the oncologists. And he never expected more. And to the oncologist, I'll just read something very short of his account. Someone who is not a believer, but he spoke that, for Brother Lee, he says, I talked to Brother Lee's oncologist last Saturday in the corridor of the hospital. This man is not in the church, but during the last 2 months of Brother Lee's illness, he took care of our brother. He said, quote, I see people dying all the time. I know that eventually everybody has to die, but there are many ways to die. And he says, I have never seen a man who died like Brother Lee. And then there was an ICU kind of person. He says, I just envy this man. When I die, I want to die like he does. This man has a face of an angel. The way he makes me want to come to your church. So just in his living, Brother Lee didn't minister. And he says that actually, Brother Lee never preached the gospel to the oncologists, to the technicians. He didn't say a word. It was just through his living as a pattern. He just touched many to at least be open and to approach what his ministry and all these things that he's doing over the years.
Amen. Amen. Light us and Lord.
and then cars were the fourth top part of the song. The one that says, Paul was a pattern of cooperating with Christ, heavenly ministry, to shepherd people for the building up of the body of Christ. Paul was a pattern to the believers of living and ministering Christ as the Spirit, in his Spirit, for building up the body of Christ.
Amen.
Paul put Christ as everything, as his living pattern, goal, and secret. And a portion in the morning nourishment said, Paul took Christ as his life and lived by Christ.
Amen.
This Christ who lived in him as life, and who has the law of life and is the very law of life, ruled and regulated him that he might be legitimately, legally, rightfully, and duly subject to Christ. Therefore, Paul was within a higher and better law, being subject to the law of life. And in Romans 8:2, I looked it up, I read it, it says, for the law of life has freed me in Christ Jesus from the law of sin and of death. And a little footnote I read says, the spiritual life revealed in this chapter is fourfold. First, it was the divine life in the Spirit. Second, it became life in our spirit through regeneration. Then from our spirit, it saturates our mind, or the transformation of our soul, to which our mind belongs and becomes the life in our soul. Eventually, it will permeate our body and become the life in our body. Ultimately, issuing in the transfiguration of our body, that is the redemption of our body. The major function of the process triangle in indwelling our spirit as the law of the spirit of life is to free us completely from Satan, who dwells in our fallen nature as the law of sin and death. This freeing is not only for our subjective justification, but even more for our dispositional sanctification. And I just want to be able to experience this kind of pattern in my life.
Amen.
I enjoy this week that, you know, we have many patterns in the Bible, and we need to be patterns to others. But we need to bring others to the Bible so they can also see the patterns in the Bible, because sometimes we can't really be, you know, maybe we should, but, you know, sometimes we're not really that pattern. And we know that Paul, you know, he persecuted the believers. But when he was on his way to Damascus, the Lord blinded him. He saw this great light. And it was this light, you know, he was transported to the third heaven, and the Lord revealed himself to him. And from then, he, you know, it changed his life completely. So he was a pattern to others because he had been blinded by the Lord, and he forsook everything. Because just to see the Lord causes us to forsake everything, right? Seeing the Lord is knowing the Lord, and you cannot remain the same. And here in 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, 4, it says, but even as we have been approved by God to be entrusted with the gospel, so we speak, not as pleasing men, but God who proves our hearts. And so God is trusting of us. We need to be approved by God. And this is something that comes from testing. So we need to allow the Lord to test us. We need to spend time with the Lord. And we really need to be willing to forsake. You know, one of the verses we read this morning in Acts 2:20 or 12:24, it says, I do not consider my life of any account, right? As if precious to myself, right? But in order that I may finish my course, right? And what has been entrusted to me, right? And the ministry which has been entrusted to me for the gospel of God, of the grace of God. And we need to really allow the Lord to test us, to be approved, you know, by us. Because only after God has tested us will he grant us the approvedness. Then he will entreat something to us and begin to use us. So we need to allow this so the Lord can use us. We have the pattern of the Lord Jesus, who who went one by one. He went to Zikar, right? He went to Jericho, and he had to deviate himself to go get one sinner, right? A tax collector. He deviated to go to the well to get the Samaritan woman. It was a one-to-one. He didn't go places to hold a big gospel meeting, you know, of other, you know, preachers. He went one-to-one to seek the sinners. And so the Bible continuously reveals that the sanctifying spirit goes to seek them individually, personally. And even before we go to someone, we really need to pray for that person first. We really need to go before, even in Watchman Nee's book, I was touched by the fact that he would always go to Emmy Barber, you know, for advice, and she would, he says, oh, how come, you know, I preach the gospel to all my, you know, colleague, you know, the students, and none of them are saved. And she would say, that's because there's something between you and the Lord. And besides, you have to go first. You don't go to them first. You go to the Lord first, and then you go to them. So it was really... that we really need the pattern of the Lord Jesus.
Amen.
And yes, we need to be patterns, but we need to let the Lord shepherd us, right? And know that, yes, that we are shepherds, so we really need to be touching the Lord, even if not for our sake, for the sake of others.
Amen.
But, you know, we just need to move on and let the Lord shepherd us.
Amen.
Amen. Praise the Lord.
Amen.
We need the patterns, and we need to follow the patterns. But in this message, what touched me most is that we need to have a clear view of what shepherding is. If we don't know what real shepherding is, how can we recognize, how can we follow the patterns? So what I touched in the message that Brother Minaro mentioned, that many times we have the natural concept that shepherding is problem solving. We may think that shepherding is crisis management. So when there's a problem in our church, or when the brother or sister, they are backsliding, or they didn't meet regularly, or they didn't prophesy in the meetings. So we need to shepherd them. But actually, this is not a real shepherding. We see shepherding is not a problem solving. And even in Revelation, we see in New Jerusalem, the Lord as lamb, He is still shepherding us.
Amen.
In the New Jerusalem, we don't have problems with one another. We don't have any problems, but the Lord is still shepherding us.
Amen.
Oh, Lord Jesus. So this, I was really touched by this matter of shepherding. We need to have a clear view of what real shepherding is. And in the pattern we see, Paul, he not only solved the problems of the saints, he not only saved the saints from troubles, he led them into glory. Oh, Lord Jesus. In the verses we read in the opening, we see in 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 11, and verse 12, we see, just as you know how we were to each one of you, as a father to his own children, exhorting you and consoling you and testifying, so that you may walk in a manner worthy of God, who calls you into his own kingdom and glory. So we see, Paul has a clear view of what shepherding is. He's not only solving the problem of the saints, he's leading them into glory.
Amen.
He's bringing God into the saints.
Amen.
So I was really touched with this matter. Oh, Lord Jesus. And this message also reminded me my own experience. I was not grew up in Piscataway. I was God served in Nanjing, in China, in 2011. So, right after I came to United States for starting my PhD, this brother in China, he was giving me a call every week. He was asking me how was my life in the United States. He was trying to pray with me. And he fellowship with me. So I just received, I think this is a real shepherding. He's a real pattern. Oh, Lord Jesus. So even when I reached the marriage age, he introduced Keisha to me. So he really, and I can feel, he really cared every aspect of my life. And not only of that, he not only cared my marriage, my study life, he also cared the most important. He brings Chinese God to me. So every time I fellowship with him, I fear he brought me into Chinese God.
Mm-hmm.
He dispensed life into me.
Wow.
Praise the Lord.
Amen.
We need such a clear view of what shepherding is.
Yes.
And we need such a patterns.
Amen.
And we need to pursue the Lord and do the Lord to make us such a patterns.
Amen.
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 This week, the topic is about
the pattern of Paul, right? So it talks about shepherding, and then but then the purpose is actually not, you know, to make people feel good. It's actually for the building up of the body of Christ. I was very touched that you know, like in the verses we read, it says that you know, Paul, he spent not only what he had, but spent himself, his very being, toward people. And I think we can see in the book of Timothy how he shepherded Timothy, you know, not just spiritually, but also, you know, like physically, right? Talking about Timothy's health. And then Paul is also a person, he exercised himself. He exercised strict control over himself, and he labored, right? But then, when I was considering this, I'm thinking that actually, if we just remain, you know, at Paul and say, oh, he's great, and then what about us? Actually, we all should be today's Paul. We probably would think that, oh, you know, Paul, because, you know, he's an apostle, so that's why he's great, but he's not about me. But then actually, I think the message basically saying that we are all today's shepherds.
Right.
So, you know, if we look around and then if in our daily life we don't have anyone to be shepherded by us, I think we really need to, you know, follow this pattern to find someone so that we can shepherd on. And we talk about Brother Nee's book. This week I was very touched by, you know, his confession that when he talked to people, you know, I told young people when one time a brother had a great difficulty, and he confessed to that brother, he said, you know, you had this great difficulty because I did not pray enough for you. I don't know if we have this spirit, you know, like, I don't even know if we care about one another's fault. You know, do we know all our weaknesses? So I think that, you know, we really need to care for people. And also in the message, it says that, you know, 90% of feeding and 10% of teaching, right? So I really hope that this message encourages all of us. We can start shepherding. Find someone that, you know, who can be our companion. And actually, just don't think about, you know, like we are shepherding other people. Actually, shepherding is always mutual. It will always be the mutual shepherding. Even young people, you are not too young to shepherd one another.
How about we have maybe one more to share? And then, unless anyone else. I think there's definitely at least one more person that is willing and ready to share. So.
Difficult for people not to stand up. All right, okay. I read this week's message. What I feel is that how short I am in terms of to be a shepherd or to, you know, have the pattern for whatever, whoever in the church life. One thing really touched me is when Paul says, you know, exhort the believers to live a life, you know, it's worthy of, you know, of God. These things constantly, you know, in me, always saying, remind yourself, you know, what kind of salvation I receive, and what is the purpose, the goal for this salvation. It's not for me to be a good man or a good woman or whatever. is for the building up of the body of Christ. In order to be able to build up, we need to be buildable. To be buildable, that means you have to live a way that you are pleasant to people. Here in this message is saying, nourish or cherish. You have to be pleasant for people feel that you are very easy to access. Sometimes I feel I'm very sure of this because I'm very strict, right? And sometimes the way that I speak or the way I try to say something maybe come across too straight. So this is the thing constantly in me. Lord, I need you come into me like shepherd just now. That Shepherd Esther just shared. In this message, in this summer training, the flow won't stop. The flow needs to come in so that it has become deeper and deeper. We have to open up ourselves to receive the Lord's dealing. This dealing is indeed very in depth. Only you and Lord knows, what the point the Lord touch you. When you open it up, this flow comes deeper and deeper. It's very naturally flowing out. When we have the flow in the church life, everything is buildable. Amen.
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 Praise the Lord. I was also very touched by this week's message. And we know that Christ today is in His heavenly ministry, shepherding the churches, carrying out His administration on the earth for the producing of the bride to build up the body so that He can come back. And for this, one very particular thing that He's doing is shepherding. He's shepherding not just the churches, but He's shepherding each and every individual through the body of Christ.
Amen.
And He's the chief shepherd, but through the help of the ministry, we see that there's also a pattern of such a one who cooperated, with the shepherd in Christ,
Amen.
In His heavenly ministry. And this pattern is truly a blessing to us. But as I'm just reading this week, my feeling is that, this pattern is not there for us to imitate in our way. And in a sense, it exposes of where we are. But my burden this week is that we need to learn from this pattern in a way that this pattern is actually someone who follows the Spirit.
Amen.
Not just following the Spirit in the sense of, enjoying the Spirit, but he follows the Spirit in the sense of being regulated, being dealt with, and being balanced by the Spirit that's within him. And the Spirit actually is the Lord Jesus Himself.
Amen.
He's the one who is the true shepherd.
Amen.
He's the one who's absolutely one with God, who has been measured by God and proved by God.
Amen.
By following the Spirit and His regulation within us,
Amen.
We are all becoming shepherds.
Amen.
And the it's not whether or not we are shepherds or not shepherds, it's just how much can we minister Christ.
Amen.
And the amount that and the degree that we can minister Christ, shepherding by our person of who we are, depends on the degree and the measure of how much we have been touched by the Lord.
Amen.
Have been regulated and touched and dealt with by the Spirit.
Amen.
So saints, we should be encouraged.
Amen.
That this Spirit within us today is operating. What we need to do is cooperate.
Amen.
But saints, this matter is not something we should just take it lightly. I was touched every moment of our day. Every day, from the time we wake up, we have a choice to make.
Amen.
We can cooperate with the Spirit within
Amen.
Us,
yeah.
or we can live by our natural life.
Amen.
I'm very guilty of this, especially in my workplace. I was required to focus, so I exert my mind and dealing with, people in terms of office politics, especially in the courthouse. There's actually a lot of different things between the different judges that you have to know, and so that you can actually live just to survive in the environment. so that you don't step on each other's toes, right? Mm-hmm. In that kind of environment, I also have a choice to make. Amen. Can I live by my spirit?
Amen.
And keep to the regulation of the spirit within me? Saints, you know, we need to live by the spirit. Mm-hmm. Paul is a pattern of one who not only lived by the spirit, he actually walked by the spirit. He had a lot of revelations, but all those revelations were lived out, not just through sufferings, but in a sense, in his following of the Spirit.
Amen.
And all the dealing that
Amen.
God has arranged for him
Amen.
Through the operation of the Spirit.
Amen.
As we learn to walk in this way, we can walk in an orderly fashion. Actually, in walking by the Spirit is not just every day I'm so happy, full of joy. That's a byproduct. But actually walking means, in Philippians 3, in Galatians, is to walk and to march in a straight line. You're being regulated. You can't just stroll about. You have to march, actually not just by yourself, but with other people, like as a military march, right? So you have to follow a certain pace. You have to be regulated by how fast you're walking. You're constantly being balanced by those around you. Saints, if we truly learn to follow by the Spirit and walk by the Spirit, we'll be balanced by the body.
Amen.
We'll be brought back to the body of Christ.
Amen.
In which we can really, you know, learn how to serve and how to shepherd in a corporate way.
Amen. Amen.
You know, this week, anyway, I was very touched and very much convicted in my service. You know, we need to learn to cooperate with the Christ Heavenly Ministry and be balanced and be measured in the body of Christ.
Amen.
And this all starts with our following the Spirit.
Amen.
And moment by moment.
Amen.
Amen. So how about let's have some prayer.
Amen.
And then we can end the meeting today.
Amen. Amen, Lord.
Thank you, Lord.
Amen.
Thank you, Lord, for such a pattern.
Amen.
Thank you for the Apostle Paul.
Amen.
Thank you all for all his writing.
Amen.
Lord, we want to aspire to be such patterns ourselves.
Amen.
Lord, to just live by the Spirit.
Amen.
Oh, Lord Jesus, continually turn to you.
Amen.
Lord, we would choose to cooperate.
Amen.
Lord, we would choose every morning to touch our spirit.
Amen.
Oh, to be led by the Spirit.
Amen.
Amen.
Lord, we love you.
Amen.
Thank you, Lord, for your mercy and love.
Amen.
Thank you for speaking, Lord.
Amen.
Lord, thank you for being a part of our lives.
Yes, right.
Part of our life.
Yes.
Lord, make us a part of all this, Lord.
Amen.
We come here to tell you thank you for the Spirit.
Amen.
Inside of us, Lord.
Amen.
Lord, so make us be a good parents of the parents.
Amen.
Lord Jesus, thank you.
Amen.
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 That's right. Amen.
Oh, Lord, amen. Reproduce yourself in us.
Amen.
Oh, we admit we are so short.
Amen.
Fill us with your Spirit.
Amen.
Oh, we need your saturating.
Amen.
Oh, we need your permeating.
Amen.
That we would become just like you.
Amen.
We would become the many patterns you need in your church.
Amen.
Shepherding one another for the building up.
Amen.
That's right.
Lord, in our living.
Amen.
Oh, Lord, to spend time with you.
Amen.
Lord, exercise our spirit.
Amen.
Oh, Lord Jesus.
Amen.
Oh, Lord, that we will, oh, Lord, we can be the good pattern.
Amen.
Oh, Lord, become the good shepherd.
Amen.
Oh, Lord Jesus.
Amen.
For your use to build up the body.
Amen.
Amen.
Remember, if you need to pick up the book that we're reading, you can go see Benjamin.
No, me and my parents
are doing it. It's like a
nice shoe.
Good to see you. Friday, Saturday. Working hard, huh?
Friday.
Nice to have a quarter of
a mile. I'm going to go to the
first
I was on that computer. I was trying to get one of the